going to start the second epistle of John. And, you know, the Holy Spirit's just continuing through this dear brother. Just such a sweet invitation, continuing on from the first epistle to the second of truly the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, the walk. We talk about it being required. I like to say needful. It's just it's a needy walk. It's the walk of one that truly has a vision, and this is the need that needs to be in your life that shows forth the evidence that you truly are in love with Christ appearing, that you're in tune with it, that by the grace of God, you're preparing, you're that wife that truly has made herself ready. There's a claiming going on, not of anything that we did, but just apprehending the grace of God. And in apprehending that grace that's so abundant, free, and full, it makes you ready. It causes you to be ready, just whether it was like Esther getting ready to see the king. Everything was perfectly done. She just showed up, didn't know anything about it, didn't know any of the customs, but she was taught, she was instructed, she submitted, she yielded. And my goodness, she appeared before him even when she wasn't supposed to, but she was fully ready and caught him by absolute surprise and ravished his heart. And this continues on through this wonderful epistle here. We'll also read in this epistle the continued vigilant warning of Brother John against false teachers. And we're in that time. They had that time going on then. And how we defend ourselves from the false teachers is don't depart from the truth. That's as simple as it is. Embrace the truth. Love the truth. Appreciate the truth. Be glad that you have teachers and preachers and different ones that give forth the word of God, and rejoice how faithful our Lord is. But this second letter is written most likely very soon after the first one, and probably again from Ephesus. John spent a lot of time there, and as we mentioned earlier, there's many bridal undertones, and I think we'll see that there's a real sincere pleading to not leave the first love. I think that'll become very evident in this second letter, and to remain the church that God has given and encourage these different brothers and sisters, the church that's without spot or wrinkle. And maybe that's the reason that Ephesus is probably the right place, because you'll read in Revelation there how he said to the church of Ephesus, I have one thing against you. Don't leave your first love. And I'm telling you, this brother John, he knew love. He was the disciple that the Lord loved. And this dear brother, you think about the Holy Spirit inspiring him to write John, to write these sweet epistles, then to obviously pen Revelation. My goodness, what this brother saw and the life of love he lived. So by the grace of God, this theme here as well too is to not leave that first love. But let's go ahead and read the first verse. And it says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. And so precious here, and also amazing to me how there's so much contention about this introduction. You'll hear many different writers, and actually I got a phone call today, and truly today, talking about this, knowing that we're going to get into this, God willing. And the question is was this literally written to a certain lady and her children, or was it figuratively written to the church? And I think how people get to arguing about lots of different things that I guess you could spiritually think about this, but I kind of answered that. I said, well, I think it's kind of both. And it was sweet because I got kind of chastised for it. And I said, no, hear me out if you don't mind. You asked me a question. And so I said, you know, I think when you read the Word of God, maybe if you remove any thought of man and realize that when the Lord is writing the Word of God, he's writing it to the church, sure he's writing it to believers, but you better know that he's writing it to you. If you ever leave out how personal the Word of God is, I believe you miss the whole point. He's writing this to us, and I'm so grateful to God it is that personal, and I'm so grateful to God that His Word is alive and it's living. And I know, I'm not trying to be strange, I know these things were written in the past, but praise God, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He's alive, and His Word is alive. And by the grace of God, we have become, that Word has become in us, and we're part of this wonderful Word of God, and that's the only thing that's ever going to remain is the Word. It's going to be forever. Everything else is going to pass away, and we know by His grace that He has called us into this. So I encourage us, brothers and sisters, that you know, you get into the concept and the reality of God's love and how sweetly He's written this to individuals here, and He's written this to you. But John, as we go into this, he is presenting himself as the elder. He's elderly at this time, and he's had a lot of experience. He's told us about his experience with the Lord, and precious how he said how he laid his head upon his breast. He handled the Word. And I was thinking today, praise be to God, I've handled the Word too. And not just picked up a Bible, praise the Lord. He's revealed himself to me. Do you handle Jesus? Do you hold him? Do you physically, in a sense, in that spirit, do you know him? Do you touch and feel? Is it that personal to you that he's just in that glass darkly, but ready so quickly to appear? I know he's with me. The presence is so great. And more importantly, I know he's in me. And it just flows in and out. And praise be to God. I can relate with John and his thrill as he's telling these people, I know this is true because I saw Jesus. I handled Jesus. I put my head up on his breast. I heard his heart. And you know, I can say to my brother John, I do too. I do. People can say, well, you're strange. You're lots of different things. But I love Jesus. He first loved me. It's real. I know that this is the stuff that's going to pass away. I know that I'm seated in the heavens in Christ Jesus. I know by the grace of God that nothing can separate me from that love. I know that I am now a son of God, and I'm so grateful for that. And it's just the reality of realities of what the Word of God can be, and I'm so grateful to God. He rewards us as we come unto Him. But the only question that we have really here, I think, brothers and sisters, is whether we're going to take the part, by the grace of God, of the elect lady or the children. Are you going to be a son of God or are you going to be an infant? And you got to put all of the epistles here of John together. And how many times has he been asking us and warning us and encouraging us, grow up. Quit being like not just children, but remember he said infants, little children. And you think about how we can be the point that he was trying to bring across here and that was so impressed upon his heart by the Holy Spirit was, God, help our unbelief. Stand and withstand. Embrace the truth. Appreciate the truth. Just desire by the Word, by the grace of God, the Word of God. Desire that for your life. And I think about this elect lady, and it is so wonderful. If you'll read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 with me. We just studied that, but how precious when we think of that word elect in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And it says there, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I think about how great God is, that he called us, he's chosen us, and how we rejoiced in that wondrous word elect. And not too long ago, how we rejoiced and it means picked out. You're picked out. You just thought you were picked out for punishment. You just thought you were picked out to be kicked around. You just thought you were picked out to be discouraged or to have lots of things. Oh, no, no, no. God picked you out for one thing. He picked you out for glory. Did you know that? He picked you out for glory, to put His glory in your life, to have you glorify Him. But it means picked out. It means set apart. I love this. The object of His mercy. The subject of His grace. Well, it goes right back to royalty, brothers and sisters. You are special. You are chosen. God has called you. And you have a great calling upon your life. And it always comes back to, what are we going to do with it? Like that wonderful song, what will you do with Jesus? I said that at that funeral, the memorial service for Brother Earl. What will you do with Jesus? Neutral, you cannot be. You can't be. You're going to come out of here just like those folks that were at the memorial. You're going to be changed. We're always changing. You're either changing into a more hardened, angry, bitter, resentful. And I'm talking about Christians now. You can be that way, or you can be changed from glory to glory into the very image of Christ. Now, what's it going to be? Well, I think the answer is very easy. I mean, Lord, I want to be like you. How many people wear those shirts? What would Jesus do? Oh, I want to be like you. All of these things. Well, do you really mean it? Well, you know what? It's got to be the work of grace. And what that work of grace is, I need to be willing, Lord, to move with you, to walk with you. And we're going to read about that wonderful walk. We're going to understand that it's all His doing, and we're all His workmanship. But brothers and sisters, we are picked out. And by the grace of God, that mercy, if we're going to receive every bit of it, let me tell you something, being picked out can lead right into the very midst of a throne. And a lot of people say, well, come on, you mean me? I said, yes, you. By the grace of God, more importantly, the Word of God says, yes, you. He said that I would that all men be saved and come to a full knowledge of the truth. And as we know, it just says knowledge, but look that up. And it does say full. It does say complete. It does say exact. And then you look up the word knowledge, and it means that intimacy between a husband and a wife. This is what God has called us to. This is what this age is for, is for us to truly be a wife that has made herself ready and ready to meet Him in the air. I think the simplicity and the calling, and how thankful we are that we can even have an anointing on this, that it takes it from here and being head knowledge, brothers and sisters, and then it just becomes alive, that it's reality. It's not just something that we talk about. Shoot, whenever we talk about Jesus as our bridegroom, I hope there would be something standing up on your head. I hope that your heart rate might go a little bit faster, that it's not like, well, yeah, I'm here to marry Jesus. You know, if I showed up at the wedding like that to marry my wife, I'm sure she would have had second thoughts, and it wasn't going to happen. I wanted to get there. I wanted to be married. See, she's not here, so I can say these things. But I did, as my dad used to always say. He said, well, I think I was a little delirious that day. And I said, oh, no, Dad, let me tell you something. I know how you love Mom. But it's true, brothers and sisters, there's an excitement here. And I know sometimes we're low, we're weary, we're all of these things. But when we abound in the hope, and I don't care how much despair we are in, I don't care how much we're pressed out of measure, when Jesus Christ, by His grace, can give us that vision that, Lord, really, You have called me. I understand this, and I believe that You're true to Your word, that You want me to marry You. You know what? It just takes everything away. It does, doesn't it? Doesn't matter what you're in. I praise the Lord how even when I'm in a very severe trial, and as God brings that thought to me, I'm so grateful that He says, son, this might just be the last trial that gets you ready to win my best. So how about let's endure the hardness as a good soldier and be ready to see you. And I think that so much for my brother right now. I hurt. I just ache. I can't tell you by the grace of God how much empathy there is. I haven't felt in certain ways like this ever before. But at the same time, I truly am comforted that these are the things that turn hearts to Jesus Christ. And not just turn hearts to Jesus Christ. I'm talking about giving my heart to Jesus Christ, to truly talking about and starting to understand the breakthroughs that are happening there, to say, you know, brother, Jesus is coming. You know, this isn't just something that He's returning. He's returning for a purpose this first time. He's coming to get His bride. One time. Hallelujah. And this is the calling that we have. You weren't born into this family, brother. I said to him that it wasn't coincidental. It wasn't of accident. You received this message. And I know you know of these things. And we can say we didn't stay in it. We can say we didn't get it. We can say all of these things. Well, you know what? I've got a God who's a jealous lover. And He keeps coming. And He keeps coming. And you can ignore it. And you can turn away. But we're in the greatest age of grace there's ever been. And He is giving so much grace. Even little old wretched me is getting ready to be a bride. So thanks be to God. Now, in that, how about so picked out that many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all? That's Proverbs 31:29. Now, many Christians don't like to talk about these types of things, brothers and sisters, and you know that. You start speaking of these things with different ones, and they'll act as if, well, you're acting like you're better than I am. You're acting that God is preferring you to me, and that's not it at all. I love my family, but there's a special love that I have for my wife. How come we can't get that? God set it up. Did you know that? He set up Adam and Eve, and He set up their children. He set up the whole family, and it's beautiful. And a family that functions properly, and I know they're hard to find today, but if you find one, God is the head. Everything comes out of that God head, but He puts it in that man. And that man's a godly man, and he loves that wife as Christ loved the church, and it's so wonderful the love that they can have, and she submits to him as unto the Lord. Always add that in there, as unto the Lord, and that's how we get along. And then we have these children that we don't provoke to wrath, right, dads? And then we have these children that honor their moms and dad as unto the Lord. All of these things, and then there's this wonderful harmony. But God so specially and specifically has shown that we take different places within that family, and there's different relationships, and there's different things that are shared. But as you go up kind of the rank, if you will, from, you know, whether they're cousins to aunts and uncles to brothers and sisters to mom to dad to finally getting to the husband and wife, what's shared between the husband and wife is the pinnacle. It's the epitome. It's the most personal. It's the most intimate. And there's things that are shared there that are not shared down the rungs. It's only for that relationship. Now, how come we can't understand that? How come we can't see that? Even in nature, God reveals Himself. Even in nature, God reveals His bride. Amen. Amen. And how much more so in the Word of God, when He tells us so clearly that many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. I'll jump over there to the 8th verse with you. It says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Just in a little letter, how much God is impressing upon us. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. I'm so grateful that we know this, brothers and sisters. I don't think we're wrestling with that tonight. But can't we rejoice even the more in what we know? It's not that I'm looking for new truth. Praise God, it's there. But as I was rejoicing with a brother and sister tonight, Lord, expand this wineskin so I can enjoy and embrace it more and more and more. Praise be to God. And so as we go on with this, we're going to begin to rejoice in all the qualities that cause this dear sister to be called an elect lady. Okay? And the very first one is right here. It's her children. It says right there as we read this, the elect lady and her children. I think it's so precious that he talks about these children. And this children to me speaks of she's fruitful. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 10, it says, I am a wall, and my breasts like towers. Then was I in his eyes as one that found favor. How amazing. You talk about that wonderful, fertile, fruitful, the nurser. How developed and how wonderful that this wonderful woman can bring forth the testimony and feed others. But notice, it was her breasts were like towers. And then was I in his eyes as one that found favor. Let me tell you something. He wants to see the fruit in your life like nobody's business. That's the thing that draws him. That's the beauty. That's the attraction, is when we are in the depth of the valley where we hear, oh yes, that's where the fruit grows. But just because you go to the valley doesn't mean that you're allowing him to produce the fruit. A lot of times Christians are taken into the valley, and I have been there, and I resent it. And I say, Lord, I'm not going to receive this right now. I just want to get out of here. Now, I know you haven't had that happen, but we get there many a time. I just have to expose myself by the grace of God to you. And I say, no, Lord. But then, you know what? He's faithful, and he leaves me there. And by the grace of God, he leaves me there till I say, okay, I understand it's my privilege to be here. I understand it's because you love me. You're chasing me, so you've put me here. And praise be to God, it's time for fruit. And how He delights in that. And how He loves that. And how He loves to see that we can be fertile Christians. And I'm so grateful to God that this is one of those qualities, that this is that virtuous woman that we read about in Proverbs 31 that says, she gives meat to her household. Brothers and sisters, give meat to your household. Husbands and wives. Parents, take time to read the Word of God to your children. Every morning before they go to school, by the grace of God, read them the Word. It makes a difference. It is the difference. It sets the day. Just one little thing. They take one little thing out of there, whether it's the sweet daily light, whether it's even taking the Word, the Bible, and just getting a verse, and let's talk about this verse, whether it's in the car driving to school. There's many things we can talk about, but why not talk about the Word of God? Set the day right. As you go to bed, obviously, in prayer, all of those different things. The much, the more. Gather yourselves, not just here, but in your home. Your brothers and sisters in Christ. Before, beyond anything, and forever, that's what you're going to be. That's what you are. You're not taking that marriage, that son and father relationship by the grace of God. My sons are my brothers in Christ. That's how amazing and how much responsibility that we have one for another. And I'm telling you, it helps them to behave. Not putting a guilt trip on them, but telling them exactly who they are. You're my brother in Christ. And they sometimes remind Dad. And I tell them not to usurp authority. But never mind. All right. But isn't it wonderful that she's a Sea of Galilee, teeming with life and pouring it forth as the Holy Spirit gives intercession. And again, as a sister pointed out, I hadn't heard the meaning of Galilee for quite a while, but there's different meanings of the word, but the prominent meaning is to circle. And so grateful to God that, you know, how He circles us, and we talked about that on Sunday and all. But this elect lady, she's Christ-like. She brings that presence of the Lord in there, and it's amazing. And you know people like that. You know, they're in a room, and by the grace of God, hey, there's glory here. This is awesome. You know, I'm psyched up. I know that the presence of the Lord is here. Not just because of a person that came in the room, but because of the faith. I was always so thankful, Brother Hill, when I'd visit with him and come to see him, and how much of the faith and love of God was in that life. It was just a fact. Well, son, God will take care of that. Yeah, you're right. I agree. And where two are agreed, my goodness, what's going to happen there? But it was just the way, not it was, just the way it is. It's the Word of God. He said it so. Now, we know that and we talk about that, but that's what great faith is. It's just like that sweet centurion. He just said, well, Lord, you know, you just say it. You know, don't have to come to the house. I don't even need to come see you. Not because I'm lazy, but I'm not even worthy to do that. I'll just send my friends. But just speak the word, and it's done. And I love that, because that's where our faith needs to be, in that realm of knowing whom we believe. And again, before we get out of this first verse, notice how John, as we said earlier, who knew about the love of God, who is the one whom Jesus loved, loves her so. And it says not only John, but also all they that have known the truth. And I just think that that's so wonderful, of this love match that's going on within the believers at this time. And I love how it says that those that have known the truth love her, love John, John's love. And brothers and sisters, we're ones that have known the truth. It's you. We're included in this. And I appreciate how this word is worded to us, that this is all who has ever known the truth. And this goes back again to the intimate knowledge of the truth reveals bridal love one in another. See, it's the love of God. That's how they knew that they were Christians, because of their love one for another. But how much more we know when we're gathering with brothers and sisters of like precious faith. I'm talking about the faith that, and we understand that faith worketh by love, but we're talking about bridal faith, the believing of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and how we love one another in that. That there's a special love, there's a bond there. And you know what the bond is? Is it's matrimony. And praise be to God, this, I really believe, goes right back to Psalm 133, where it says, dwell together. Are we going to dwell together? Well, a lot of people say, oh yeah, I go to church, I see you guys. No. Are we going to dwell together? Does that mean church camp? You know, 5 days? Yeah, that's kind of a hardship on me. A lot of people kind of rub me, rub you, and, you know, after a while, I want to go back to once a week. And then I ask again, are we going to dwell together? Because that's even different. It's not just 5 days. It's not just this long. It's just not this long. Dwell. And I encourage you, go look it up. It's to settle down in marriage. And it is. I'm not making it up. That's the Word of God. And it's the Word of God throughout the Word of God that we love one another with the love of God, with the agape love, with the divine love. That we come into that kind of union, brothers and sisters. And that's truly something the Lord has really opened up in my heart, something He's really allowed me to see, that the bride is a complete body. I mentioned it to you before. It's not just the head, Jesus, but it's His body as well, too. All of the saints that, you know, when that rib portion came out, it wasn't just a head. It wasn't still a rib. It was a complete and full and glorious and beautiful body. And by the grace of God, there's ones in here tonight. We might be part of that body. That's our hope. That's our abounding in hope. And that's the love that we will share, not there, but here and there. It continues. It will grow greater because of the exceeding riches of His grace. We understand that. But brothers and sisters, if we really have not entered into that type of love, I have to tell you, I question, have I moved into truly the bride that's waiting for Jesus Christ? And I do say amen to that. I believe that Jesus has called us into that love, that that's the love that is required. And it's coming together, praise God, more and more. When we love the truth, that's the real everlasting agape love of Jesus Christ. All right, verse 2. You didn't think we were going to get there, did you? For the truth's sake. Well, let's go back and read verse 1 to get back into verse 2. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. So here is the very reason when people say, well, what is the meaning of life? Well, here it is. This is the reason for everything in one little verse. Why we believe, why we love. For the truth's sake. Amen. For the truth's sake. And what that word sake means is its purpose. The purpose of everything, brothers and sisters, is the truth. God, the fullness of God, He put that right in Jesus Christ. It dwells there. Everything dwells there. Everything is there. It's in one place. And this is this truth. The Word, Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, the life. And praise God, He's put that in us. That's what's amazing. That's what hit me last week when I was down. I was discouraged. I thought, oh Lord, I just fail after fail after fail. But then it was so precious how He opened up, how free I am. And how His blood has cleansed me. My sins are gone. Never to be remembered again. And so grateful to Him that He's faithful. And we know that. But it was just a whole different level and a whole different level of appreciation. Another vantage point of greater amounts of the love of God. And here it is again. The purpose for everything is His truth. And that, praise God, it's in us and it will be with us forever. And today is the day, brothers and sisters, to apprehend it, because I'm telling you, we apprehend this kind of stuff and then we'll be in that company that loves His appearing. That's the attraction to the truth. And you know, Sweet dear ones, I'm right there with you. It's not something that can be forced. It's just something that is. That's something that He brings. You don't try to love. How do you try to love? I don't know how we do that. You just love. And there's been times I haven't been able to love certain people, certain ones. And I remember, well, Lord, I have to love them. I'm going to get in there and love them. And nothing happened. And nothing happens in that. Because it can't happen. The thing is that the love has already been provided. And, you know, when we just realize the love that we're loved with, then there's just a joy, there's a peace, there's a rest, and then there's this giant channel that happens in your life, and love flows out of it for everybody. You have compassion. I don't care how evil the person is. I don't care how wicked they are. I don't care what they've done to you. I don't care what they did to somebody else. It's real, and you love. You might not agree with everything. Things might hurt you. Make you even a little bit angry from time to time. But the love doesn't leave. The love never leaves. Because it's the love of God which is forever. And that's very precious. All right, verse 3. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Now, how many times does the Word of God tell us grace first? And I will emphasize that. I'm thankful to emphasize that. It's always grace first. Without grace, you have nothing. You have no promise. You have no anointing. You have nothing. Because it has to be the grace of God. Anything in your life. We can work as hard as we want. We can do all the things that we think we need to put into place. But if we're not dependent in receiving and accepting the grace of God, it's wood, hay, and stubble. I want silver and the gold and the precious stone in my life. How about you? I do. I'm tired of building things that wash away. I want things that are forever, everlasting. And that's the Word of God, and that's the grace of God that brings that into my life. And these are the things that He's challenging us with. That it's grace. It's God's unmerited love. It's His unmerited favor. And then it's everything else. Did you hear that? It's God's unmerited love. It's God's unmerited favor. And then it's everything else. And what I mean is that everything comes from grace. Mercy comes from grace. Peace comes from grace. Faith comes from grace. Everything. Everything. And don't ever forget that. Because you'll miss. There'll be gaps and voids in your life. Because it's all grace. It's not because, wow, I achieved all these things over here, and then I was dependent for God for these things over here. That's a house that's divided against itself, and it's going to fall. It's a leaven that comes in, and it contaminates everything in the whole house. It's all grace. It's all grace. And thank you, Jesus, that that's what it is. I mean, that masterpiece has got to be His and His alone. And we talked about Michelangelo the other day in his David, and I didn't hear about any of the helpers. It was just that guy. He had the talent. He had the vision. And I would not have dared to go up to him and said, you know, the ear's a little off, or man, that middle toe's a little big, and it's making me weary. No, it was a perfect thing. Now, how much more are we talking about with God? Please, you know, pay attention to what the Lord is bringing forth. This is His work. We are His workmanship. And brothers and sisters, let Him do it. And He does it through His Word. All of these other self-helps and these aids and these things that you think are crutches or braces and all that, they're going to fail. And the sad thing is people have gone with them for years because they're pretty good and they last for a while. But the problem with those that I just hate the most is that they wasted the most amount of my time. I would rather have the quick failure and let's just get on with the way. But the devil's good at this stuff, and he'll put lots of stuff in there that you can be dependent on for a long time. And I'm telling you, it is a desert. So think of those things when we talk about this grace. And notice here that God and Jesus here are united in this wonderful verse in offering us this grace. And notice that it can only come one way. I'll let you write this down and you can turn there later. But it's John 1:14. And in John 1:14, I think it says it so sweetly, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So it is the grace and the truth, the love is in one place. It's always in one place. And He is full of that truth and that love. And as the Word of God tells us, speaking truth in love, we grow up into Him in all things, even Christ Jesus the head. And praise the Lord, we can leave that right there, that it is the grace of God. All right, verse 4. "I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in the truth. We have received a commandment from the Father." Now, look that John is rejoicing here, and he's not rejoicing because there's so many people. You know, he's just talking about an elect lady and her children. To me, that doesn't sound like a whole herd of people. But he's not rejoicing because the church here is just abundant and full of people. He's not rejoicing here in all the buildings maybe these people have built. He's rejoicing for one reason and one reason only. The children are walking in the truth. Not some of the truth or anything of that. They're just walking in the truth. And I love that. And I appreciate that. And that's why I've always appreciated God's faithfulness in causing hearts to yield in this ministry that want the Word of God. Just want the Word of God. And as things try to come in different ways and shapes and forms, and if the Lord tarry, we will be challenged as well too, brothers and sisters. But by the grace of God, the will and the desire and the privilege to stand and to withstand, and having done all, to stand. That's amazing. That's precious. See, that is that church without spot or wrinkle. It's not worried about sin. It's not worried about the good works or the not good works or the deeds or these types of things. It's focused in one place. Preach the Word. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, it's a strum, a chord across my heart. It is so real. It's so alive. There's the simplicity in it. And when you think of that, there's just a peace. Because you know that God's going to do it. God is doing this. It's not anything that man promotes. I hope that when we come in here, we're just asking for the anointing. Lord, I know Your Word, by the grace of God, is going to come. Now we ask Your Holy Spirit to anoint. That's all we want. And I'm going to tell you something. It'll always be abundant and exceedingly abundant. All right. But in this walking in the truth, this is the second quality of why she is an outstanding lady. Why she is the elect. Well, it's the stand that she has here. She doesn't depart from the gospel. The sound doctrine is the very essence of her life. To win Jesus Christ is her life. Without the truth, brothers and sisters, we err in the way. Without the truth, we will err. It's not that, you know, okay, well, you know, you've went through all of the Bible classes. You've done all of the studies. Okay, now you're just ready to go. You've got it all, so now you can just go apply everything. No, you thrive in the truth. By the grace of God, you visit and revisit. This is bridal love again. We've talked about it. You don't just, you know, want to marry somebody and say, okay, we got married, and here we are together, and you know, I'll see you next year. There's some odd things that come to my mind, but I do believe that it's you got to communicate. Don't you want to communicate? I mean, there are things that I ask that some people look at me a little cockeyed and say, "Really, you do that in your home?" But I think the Word of God it encourages us to do that, to come into sup together. Amen. And I think that's the problem, obviously, and that's what the enemy tries to do. He just tries to divide, get people occupied, get them thinking about material things more than the everlasting. Amen. And I know that's a fact, because I know how he tries to attack my home. Same way he tries to attack your home. You know, his tricks are pretty much, we're not ignorant of his devices, but these are the things that he tries to do. But at the same time, how Christ does this is he brings us together, and he brings us together in the truth. And we need to abide in the truth. We need to have the truth, to be washed in it. I think, as Brother Hawkins brought out, to be saturated in the truth. You can't have too much of it. By the grace of God, it just coming flowing out of your life. That when you're speaking the words of life. That just in your conversation. I'm glad I irritate people. Well, Lord willing, I even irritate Christians. Well, that's what I grew up under. Not just that it was a saying, but that it's a fact. If the Lord doesn't will it, it's not going to happen. That's a fact. God's word is going to happen. It is. But I don't know if I'm going to see you tomorrow. I can honestly say, by the grace of God, we'll see each other someday. But Lord willing. And that's precious. And that's how life is it's just the word of God. And as we settle in that, it's so much sweeter. But see, it's not about sensation. It's not about events. It's not being pumped up with feeling. It's not about how good we feel. It's the truth. It's the word of God. And that settles us. That establishes us. That grows us up, isn't it? The word of his grace, as he tells us, builds us up and gives us an inheritance among them that are sanctified. And nothing else will do it. And the word of God tells us very clearly that we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, as the Lord prepares us for these Bible studies, we know these things. We do. But are we living these things? Again, we talk about it all the time. We can know it, but is it being applied? Is it life? Is it living? And only love does that. Faith which worketh by love. I just really have had that hit me a lot lately. You know, I can know something, but I won't believe something until I love it. Until it's really loving in my life. I don't know if that hits you that way, but I'm grateful to God it does. All right. Always amazes me that man is always looking for something else. You know? I do. Something new. And I'm talking about Christian man. Something new. And he always is thinking that it's new. But, we know that there's nothing new under the sun. That is the same old mess of pottage. And really, when it comes down to it, the only thing that they're looking for is to depart from the truth. That is it. That's the decision that's been made. It's not something new. The decision has been made. I want to depart from the truth. I don't want that anymore. That's not going to satisfy me. Talking about something this evening, that a lot of people that have had the precious bridal message, that have embraced it, that have appreciated, but they don't want that any longer. They might want pride. They might want to go around and say, well, I have the knowledge of it. And I'm just going to go out there and be a light of it. And that's, in a sense, I can say, okay, we have good there. But what does God say? When we can gather the much, the more, as we see that day approaching? I can't imagine gathering with people that aren't looking for Jesus Christ to come. I can't imagine gathering with people truly that aren't looking for the appearing and the first appearing of the first trump of Jesus Christ when I can. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. I want to gather with you. I want to abound in hope with you. I love being around children. But I'm going to tell you something. The best conversations that I can ever have are with the ones that are truly rejoicing and being thankful, the mature sons of God. And this is what I believe this wonderful epistle is about. So here we go. The only new that I've ever known, I don't know about you, is in Jesus Christ. I know that in him is the newness of life. I know that my salvation is made new every morning. And I'm glad that we have the absolute clarity from the Father to walk in the truth, the precious simplicity and straightforwardness of the Word of God, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Proverbs 3:6, it tells us, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen. You don't feel like you're walking with the Lord in something. You feel like you're in darkness. Acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths. That's a promise. That's not a maybe. That's an absolute guarantee. Praise be to God. He made it that easy for us, brothers and sisters. It's right in His Word. Acknowledge Him, this truth. All right, we'll read 5 and 6 and close it up. And now I beseech thee, lady. I love that. Isn't that wonderful? See, this is a woman of distinction. That's what lady means. She's known. She's special. She has a countenance about her. And there's an urgency. I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning. I love that. I mean, there's a relationship going on here, isn't there? That we had. It's never changed, this commandment. I wonder what commandment's never changed. How about the love of God? What do you think? Amen? So that we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment that, as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Now this is the third quality that we read here. This is love. Love for one another. I love Scofield's note, and I'd like to read this to you. If you have a Scofield Bible at the bottom, it's a sweet little note. The new law of Christ is the divine love, as wrought into the renewed heart by the Holy Spirit, and outflowing in the energy of the Spirit. That's precious. I love that. It's the Holy Spirit, by the grace of God, that allows it to come in, the love of God being shed abroad in my heart. But it's that wonderful Spirit as well, too, that gives the energy, the power of His might, that it flows out of my life. You talk about what a wonderful comforter that is. I think about it as I read it. It's like it's the one that's built the dam that stores it up, and it's like the one that's got the wonderful turbines that forces it out. And it's wonderful. But this is unforced and spontaneous toward the object of the divine love. It is therefore the law of liberty, in contrast with the external law of Moses. Moses' law demands love. Do you hear that? Moses' law demands love. Christ's law is love. It just is. It just flows. It's just there. And praise the Lord. That's how we can go in there. And see, the enemy wants us to think that it's not there. And or that it is there and I'm not good enough to receive it, or I did something wrong, or I need to be different to get it. It's not that way. It's there for the children of God. You're accepted. And that's what we've been reading about in this prayer, is to go in there and that desire to say, Lord, I need that. I know that that's there. And He gives it liberally and freely. He doesn't abrade that wisdom in giving it out to us. And brothers and sisters, this is the Philadelphia love that embraces both Christ the head and the body. This is the oneness that's only understood in matrimony. This is the oneness that's only understood by a wife that has made herself ready. And the commandment, I love that. This is nothing new. We've always had it, because Christ in me is the hope of glory, and Christ in me being the hope of glory, it's nothing but love. I know that the love of God put that in my life. And it's through and by that love, that God's infinite grace to us in Jesus Christ, that we walk after His commandments. Now, a lot of people, they get excited when you start talking about the law. I know that Christ Jesus fulfilled the law, but in Romans 3:3, it says that we establish the law. That we embrace this, that sure, I'm free from the guilt of any sin, and He gave me His righteousness, but He gave me that to love His law. I love it. And I can love it because He fulfilled it. I can love it because He's given me His righteousness. It doesn't scare me. I'm thankful for it. I don't try to fulfill it, because it's already fulfilled for me. I can embrace that because He's given me that life, that it's already victorious in that law. I love it. And I'm starting to understand that, Lord, I can rejoice with You and the Father in this. And I say praise be to God. But as we close here, notice that what we just read in this last verse, that word walk and walk. And walking. And it's said three times. And how vital, important, and imperative it is to yield to God. And that's exactly what is required to walk with God. You'll never walk with God until you yield, until you surrender, until you submit. And that is something that is not just done with the mouth. It's done with your life, your soul, your very heart, everything that's within you that finally submits and says, Lord, I'm yours. I am yours. And there's a difference. Brothers and sisters, He will continue to draw more out of us. It's not just one time. It's daily. It's choosing this day whom I'm going to serve. It's, Lord, I'm here today and I need Your grace to submit to You again. And I'm grateful to Him that we can walk with Him. Because he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And finally, brothers and sisters, what does it say? What do we walk in? What is the commandment from the beginning? It's love. It's love. It's always been, and it always will be. It's never changed. It's never, ever changed. And I leave us with this thought as we go. Receiving His gracious love puts us each step firmly in His love. And that's how we know. Because His truth is love. Love knows God, and God is love. But the very motivation of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, those saints, is always love. It's always love. I think that's the greatest barometer in our life, brothers and sisters, is love. I come to church because He first loved me. I love you because He first loved me. I love Him because He first loved me. I love the Word of God because He first loved me. I love my family because He first loved me. I love to live because He first loved me. I want to live because He first loved me. I want to live for Him because He first loved me. What do you think? Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't that just kind of answer it for you? I really hope it does. It is the simplicity in everything. It's because He first loved you. All right, let's stand and be dismissed.